welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad. With me, Ameh Hafizi, co-founder of Mapila Comics, the writer of Nafiri, which is an upcoming fantasy light novel. It's explained to me as a novella, but with illustration. So let's give the audience a sense of what the story of Nafiri is and how, in some ways, how special it is.
Okay. Nafiri is set in ancient Nusantara, ancient Southeast Asia. And it is set on an island in the middle of Selat Melaka, in the middle of Straits of Melaka. And this island actually usurps all the resources, wealth, fame of Melaka, Temasek, Aceh, Pasai. I'm creating an alternate universe. It's not historical.
But you're doing it by actually scavenging from actual history.
Yes. I'm not trying to be historically accurate at all, but I'm just scavenging whatever I can. So the two main characters also started the story having come back from a 10-year travel to train and to study. One of them is Marwan. He's the main character in the first book. He went to Japan and China. So the other guy is Abdullah. So he went to China and then went through the Silk Road to the Middle East. So he learned stuff like the Damascus steel thing or whatever. So trying to also use these characters to bring all these other stuff like Sun Tzu's Art of War, Hua Cha in Korea, you know, all the Tekosen technology, ancient technologies, whatever else, a little bit of a cheat, and then bring them back to Nafiri. But the main focus is to draw from local heritage and local folklore, legends and myths and whatever else, and try to make something new out of it, which is why I'm doing it in an alternate universe and not like, oh, this is, please don't think that this is real history.
Right, and that's probably your privilege, right, as somebody kind of working in the kind of non-fiction area, is you can take from real history and you can make it work together, even though they're from different historical periods. Are there other people working in this kind of field as well? I mean, locally, and do you draw inspiration from them, or what's the relationship?
There's quite a few. There's ZXU and Mung Kau, who did the Thousand Islands project, which is more of a tabletop thing, but drawing from local culture and local legends. There's Karis Lok, who did Kejora, which is, she's a fine artist. So she does, this. I think it's a micro-fiction with fine art or something. I mean, I'm not that artistic. I'm into comics, so. But
there are people like Sean Lee, who now works, I think he's got some Malaysian connection, he works in Australia. Beautiful, graphic novel work that he's done. I mean, the graphic comic is really a fine art, it seems sometimes.
Definitely, I think it's a missed opportunity, because if you want to do fantasy, you'll think of Irish worms and elves and dwarves, but we have something here that maybe the world has not really seen before. There's this guy called Adi Fitri Ahmad, whom we publish. His series is called Taubat Sitanggang, which actually combines all the local folklore, myths and legends like Pak Pandey. It was Lun Chai, Kancil, Tanggang, Batu Belah, Batu Petangkuk, and have them interact in one universe. And when I saw that, and I saw ZX stuff, and I saw Karis Lok and Mung Kau and doing all these things, I was like, wow, I had this story when I was 19, like 20 years ago. Why can't I do this as well?
And that comes to this very interesting idea of, you know, people having great ideas but not having the capital or the seed money to start it, and that's where the crowdfunding issue came in. Tell us that story.
Well, for crowdfunding, we saw that Drama Pukul Tujuh was successful, and some pre-order projects by other publishers were also successful in getting enough funds to do whatever they wanted. But we were also moved by Drama Pukul Tujuh, which is a board game. They did a crowdfunding thing. They wanted to, raise 10,000. They managed to get 15,000, and it drummed up a lot of interest. And what we were thinking at the time was, we'll do this. Even if we fail, we'll at least drum up some interest. It might not be as much as Drama Pukul Tujuh, because, you know, they went viral, but we will finally have a marketing package for each of our titles moving forward. So we'll do the same thing. We'll do the crowdfunding component, but do it as a pre-order for all the titles. We didn't know that we were going to succeed.
And that's where some good Samaritan apparently steps in and pushes to the target much sooner than you expected.
Yes.
Now, for people who don't know what crowdfunding is, there is And because I've participated in some of these things, there is a reward system, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a way of enticing an investor in, especially small people. Mm-hmm. People who give small amounts, 100, 200, 300 ringgit. Is that enough to take you further? I mean, meaning commercially, is it enough to just have this funded and have, you know, distribute the books? And what is it that you as a business person, as a business proposition, comics, what is it that you're hoping for?
We're hoping that people would be more accustomed or more used to crowdfunding, and if they are interested in some of the titles or even in supporting some of the movements, because some of the stuff that we publish actually have some sort of benefit to society behind them, whatever else. So they can actually push that as well. And not just us. I mean, there are others. I would love to see Drama Pukul 7 have an expansion set. And please support Zedek and Sharon Chin, Zedek Siu and Sharon Chin and Moon Kao and all those people. And Karis Lok, she has a Patreon, by the way, which is something else. But if crowdfunding is a viable platform for artists and creators, I think that would be great. At the same time, as for Maple Comics, we will maybe do crowdfunding for some special events. We won't be doing crowdfunding for all our titles, but definitely we want to take the marketing elements of the crowdfunding campaign for our pre-order campaigns. So now,
I do want to ask you this. Now, one of the things that has given a boost to comics, of course, is the animation of the comics. And in recent times, you know, DC Comics, Marvel, of course, going to our big screens and, you know, and all that. What's your take on that? I mean, is this something that you'd like to see happen? Do you think it's a natural thing? If you have a great story, that somebody's going to want to buy it in order to transform it on a different platform?
Hopefully, yes, because I've seen, we've seen, for example, locally, last year in 2019, Agent Ali managed to, it's still showing in the cinemas. It's a fantastic movie, by the way. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. You should watch it. I think it's one of the best Malaysian movies in the past 20 years. So they managed to, now it's the third highest grossing movie in Malaysian history.
It's 30 million or something.
It's 30 million so far.
Yeah.
You have Chris, Upin Ipin, Chris Yamantunggal also managed to do like, I think 20 plus, I forgot.
Upin Ipin is the kiddies one, right?
Yeah, the kiddies one. I watched that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and that one I think reached, and that was almost nominated for an Oscar. I mean, it was a shame they did it. It was also a good movie. And also there was Boboiboy Boy. So it shows that even though people are whining about the local film industry, the animation industry is really capturing the imagination of Malaysians, both young and old. I'm an old guy. I watched Agent Ali. I was thoroughly entertained. It was really good.
Okay. What about the... Okay, I mean, I wonder if this is a question for purists who think, oh, you know, there is the form, the light novel, or as we were talking earlier, you mentioned panels and the use of our imagination when we read... comics. Movies do something very different to the characters. Is that something that you think is good or bad, or how do you respond to the transformation of what is essentially work on a two-dimensional surface into film?
Well, I always see different the incarnations or manifestations of the stories on different mediums as different things. For example, I love Watchmen, the comic book. I'm okay with Watchmen, the movie. I really hated Watchmen, the TV series, actually. I thought it was another Damon Lindelof punya screw job, basically.
Okay, but so the thing is, do you think there's pressure on comic creators to create stories that can translate easily onto different platforms? Is there pressure happening there?
Well, that's hardly happened yet so far. I mean, look at the current success stories of Agent Ali, Upin Ipin, and Boboiboy. I think they were all created by the studios themselves, right? So those were IPs created specifically for that medium. I don't know what... was it Kampung Boy was adapted by a Japanese? I don't think that question is being asked yet by local creators, but I would love it if that's the challenge. The challenge is you have to make it adaptable for all these platforms. It means that the creative community and the creative industry would have multiple streams of revenue to keep them alive and not have them do other things like
a day job, like Grab or something. Yeah. Okay, I want to ask you in the last few minutes that we have before we go to a break, back to Nafiri, what is the language of this world? Did you have to create a new language? Because that's often really tricky and very interesting.
Yes, there were several ideas. One of them was to do pure classic Malay, which won't work because nobody reads classic Malay. Okay, there would be maybe three people who would appreciate it, would understand it, and it would definitely fail in attracting the young readers, which is what we wanted to do in the first place. So it's basically something, what I came up with was something equivalent to Shakespeare, like fake Shakespeare.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's like...
Fake archaic Malay.
It's not really archaic, but what I do is, the first thing is I ban all the usage of modern words, English words, derivative words like gate, misi, whatever, all those things. I cannot use that. So kita mesti menyertai rombongan ini instead of kita mesti kita mesti menyertai misi ini. No, it doesn't because you want to get the people to be engrossed in the world, to be enamored in it. And if you use any of these modern words, they'll be shocked. So I'm asking the editor right now to look at it for a fifth time to see if there's any of that has come out, because I'm just afraid, I'm paranoid about suddenly there's the word gate there or something. Tunggu saya di gate itu. Oh no, people.
Okay, we'll take a short break and we'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk.